Engineering.
Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to give a talk over here. I'm going to talk about some work done with Hollowood and Kumran Wafa recently, and it's related to some work of Nekrasov and Okunkov, and some earlier work of Nekrasov. And it's of interest, I think, both to physics and to mathematics. And let me give a brief outline of what I'm going to discuss. I'm going to discuss geometric engineering, and I will give examples involving various theories. And of course, and corresponding Calabi-Yau threefolds. I'm going to discuss briefly the p-potential of the gauge theory and the genus zero string amplitude of the Calabi-Yau threefold. That's where the power of the geometric engineering comes up, that p-potentials can be calculated by simply counting curves, essentially, in the Calabi-Yau, which is, again, a hard problem. I will discuss the relationship of these Calabi-Yau threefolds, very special Calabi-Yau threefolds. I will only focus on very special class of these threefolds. And what is in type 2B known as PQ five grains. And I will briefly discuss the calculation of the, let me call, Gromov-Witten generating function. From webs. These are also known as webs. And then I will actually show you that this, let me call this partition function, this generating function z, that z can be calculated using some index computation involving instanton moduli spaces. Now here actually one can calculate different things, for example the A-hat genus or the chi-y genus or the elliptic genus. So the most general case that one can do is to calculate the elliptic genus, and various other things are special limits of that. But what I will actually concentrate on is actually calculate the chi-y genus, because the expressions for the elliptic genus are just too big. It will take a while to write them. So I will focus only on the chi-y genus and show you how to generalize them to elliptic genus. So let me begin by explaining what geometric engineering is. I'll just briefly outline it, because I assume that physicists are familiar with it and mathematicians can think of it simply as a black box in which you put in something and something comes out. So consider type 2A string theory on times x, where x is a Calabi-Yau threefold. The idea of geometric engineering is that here is some x, and here is our 3, 1. And the geometry on X determines the physics on R3, 1. So I pick some particular geometry that gives rise to some sort of theory on R3, 1 and supersymmetric theory. And if I change my geometry over here, my theory on this thing will change. And that's why it's called geometric engineering, because if I want to engineer some particular type of theory, I can pick some geometry and see what type of theory it gives rise to. And so this direction is interesting, that one can start with geometry, calculate something over here and get the prepotentials or the couplings over here. But actually the reverse side is also very interesting, that there are some computations which one can do using physics, instant on moduli spaces over here, which we don't really know how to do in string theory at the moment. But it's clear what their meaning is in string theory. So if I had time, I will try to explain what those things are. So here's the kind of a black box. I pick an X and I substitute over here. And over here, I get R3 four-dimensional space plus physics. Let me just briefly write it like that. So as an example, consider a Calabi-Yau threefold, which is of the form which is a product of the AN singularity times a torus. In this case, the theory on the four-dimensional space is N equals to 4 supersymmetric gauge theory with SUN gauge group. Because of the Zn. If I choose, for example, Dn singularity or En singularities, I will get the corresponding gauge groups. So this is actually the simplest example, but in some cases this is also the prototype example for SUN. All of the examples can be obtained from this one by some sort of modification, like modification of the geometry. So for example, this is n equals to 4 supersymmetric theory. Suppose that I want to get n equals to 2 supersymmetric theory. I want to break supersymmetry over here. That just means that instead of taking x to be c2 mod zn times t2, instead take it to be times p1. But this is not a Calabi-Yau space. So to get Calabi-Yau space, one needs this AN singularity to be some non-trivially fibered over P1. So here's the base P1, and at each point we have AN singularity, which is resolve the singularity over here. So these are the cycles which one gets by resolving the singularity. So it's fibered over it in non-trivial way. But one question is that how is it fibered over it? Because there's no unique way of fibering it. There are actually, for SUN, there are actually N plus one ways of, distinct ways of doing it. And they are distinct, topologically distinct manifolds, in the sense that the intersection numbers, for example, if one calculates, they are going to be different for these manifolds. But so there is a discrete number k which goes from 1 up to n plus 1, which labels all these different vibrations. But
is this a label of vibration? before you resolve the singularity or afterward? I mean,
After resolving, yes. And yeah, when you go to this brain picture, it will actually become clear how that number actually appears over there. But the funny thing is that this number, this sort of invariant, does not appear in the four-dimensional theory. So all four-dimensional theories, whichever space I choose, all four-dimensional theories will give rise to the same theory. But actually, in five dimensions, this, if I consider n theory on these spaces, then there is a number which can distinguish the Chern-Simons coefficient of the five-dimensional theory. And that exactly is the Chern-Simons coefficient of the five-dimensional theory. There is a way of actually getting this number for four-dimensional theories by adding terms like phi cubed, non-renormalizable terms to the ultraviolet P potential. If I had time, I'll try to explain that. So this gives rise to a pure HUN case theory. Now, one question is that what happens if I want to consider not pure gauge theory, but gauge theory with matter? Well, I can have either matter in the fundamental, I can consider fundamental hypermultiplets or adjoint hypermultiplets. So let me first consider the case of fundamental hypermultiplets. So the answer is that take P1 blown up at nth point. Now this Calabi-Yau will give rise to n equals to 2 SUN theory with NF hyper multiplets in fundamental representation. Now, the funny thing is,
I'm confused. I thought you had to blow up already before to get the SUN case.
Yes, the singularity is now blown up. Now one can actually blow up, pick a point, and these are minus two curves. These are minus one curves. The exceptional curves. These will all be minus two curves, but I can pick a point over here and blow that point up to get minus one curves. Now, if it's done properly, it will still be a Calabi-Yau space. As I'd like to show you in the brain picture that it actually, the whole thing becomes actually diagrams essentially. The interesting thing is that this is a toric space, and if I blow up NF points, it's still toric. But if I blow up more than two N points, it's not toric anymore. And that's exactly the condition over here that you can have up to a 2N fundamental hypermultiplets in this case. Now, there's one other case of adding, for example, the adjoint hypermultiplet in the adjoint representation, which I will come to in a little bit later after I've explained the five brain webs. So, now the question is, how do I describe these spaces? And actually, there's a very nice way of describing them using essentially toric geometry, which is actually dual to some string theory picture involving brains. And the toric picture is simply the following, that suppose let's take P2, for example. How can I describe this P2? Now, we know that one can describe this by this hyper-Taylor quotient construction, by this U1. So physicists know this by linear sigma model construction, essentially. And if I can draw the picture of this P2 in this space, as simply a this triangle. So that's the base of the P2. At each point of the bulk, there's a T2 sitting over here, which shrinks to a circle at the boundary, which shrinks to a point at one of the vertices. Now this itself is not, the P sense P2 is not Calabi-Yau. This picture cannot be thought of as a PQ5 brain web picture, but when we look at the Calabi-Yau picture, Calabi-Yau manifolds, you see this picture actually is the five-brain picture of the Calabi-Yau. So let's take another example, which is Calabi-Yau. So consider this space, O minus 3 over P2. Now the total space is actually Calabi-Yau in this case. It's the anticanonical bundle over P2. And one can write down the equation for this thing. Now this is actually embedded in three dimensions. So I can look at phi 1 squared. And the P2 is given by when phi 0 is equal to 0. And so if I drop this thing, then the base of the Calabi-Yau in this case is given by, potentially is bounded by these planes. This plane, and this plane. If you look at it from the outside, it looks like a cone, which was the positive quadrant of the R3, and then chop off this corner, and that sits over there is a P2, and the size is essentially determined by this R. So in this case, what one can do is project this skeleton, which is this line at which one of the phis, where the pair of phis are zero. So if at the plane, one of the phis is zero, at the line, two of the phis are zero. So what I can do is project using this x equals y equals zero equals to z line, project it down to two dimensions. If I project it down, it looks something like now here actually one can give this thing these lines various the lines are such that it has particular become with particular slope. So this is the 1-0 line, this is a 0-1 line. If I go this is a minus one line, this is a 2-1 line, and this is a -1, -2 line. And the interesting thing about these figures is that the sum of the external charges, these slopes, is always equal to zero. That's the charge conservation condition. And actually that is true at each vertex also. That sum of these lines, sum of the charges is always zero. The simplest way of drawing these diagrams is the following, that this is a toric space, there is a toric geometry associated with it, there is something called the Newton polygon associated with it, which looks like the following. So this is a Newton polygon of this space, and this diagram is just the dual of this diagram. So each line over here construct a line which is orthogonal to it. So something like this and this. So there will be a triangle sitting in the middle, and there will be three external lines, which is exactly the sort of rotated picture that we have over here. So similarly, for each toric, non-compact toric Calabi-Yau, and that's the only Calabi-Yau that we will look at, one has a Newton polygon and the corresponding dual diagram of this Newton polygon. This dual diagram can actually be, is exactly the, one can think of it as, in each of these lines, one can think of it as a PQ5 grain. And the duality that occurs is that, consider M theory on X, which is this toric Calabi-Yau. This gives rise to a five-dimensional theory. This five-dimensional theory is exactly the same theory which lives on this PQ5 grain web. So for each Calabi-Yau space, one can construct each non-compact toric Calabi-Yau, one can construct a web diagram, which is exactly the web diagram that will occur in type 2B string theory for the five-dimensional theory coming from M theory on X. So, in this way, okay, so this implies that for every local, by that means non-compact toric Calabi-Yau three-fold, there is a PQ five grain web. And it's actually the correspondence is actually more than that. It's a very exact correspondence in the sense that there are BPS states in the five-dimensional theory coming from M2 brains wrapped on holomorphic curves of X, which correspond to actually speaking strings ending on this PQ5 brain webs. For example, in this space, there is a P1 living inside P2, so I can wrap an M2 brain around that P1, which gives rise to a BPS state. That corresponds to a particular configuration of strings ending on this PQ5 grain web. So this is a 1-0, this is a 0-1 string, this is a 1-0 string, and this is a 1-1 string. And actually this is actually just the moment map projection of the corresponding toric threefold. So now the question is that we have these toric threefolds which give rise to supersymmetric gauge theories. What do their PQ5 brain webs look like? So consider the case of pure n equals to 2 SU2 theory. Let's just restrict to SU2 case. SUN is simple to generalize. In this case, what we have an A1 singularity, which is fibered over P1. So you know, in this case, actually, what these surfaces are. These are so-called Hilzebruch surfaces. P1 bundles over P1. And then put an anti-canonical bundle on it to make the whole thing Calabi-Yau. So what are these surfaces? These are, we know that they are the compact part. This P1 and this P1, not the normal direction, is what is called the Hilzebruch surface F1, F2, and F0, F1, and F2. Now, what do their PQ5 grain, what are their Newton polygons look like? So I'm labeling the integer points that span that give the lattice over here. And of course, one can then draw the corresponding five-grain webs dual to this thing. And let me draw this in a slightly different way. So in this case, one can actually see where the SU2 gate theory comes from. So this is a D5 main and this is a D5 main. So when if I take the length of this line to be zero, it will give rise to an SU2 gate theory living on this D5 main. Similarly over here and similarly over here. The five-dimensional theory would be different for these things, but the four-dimensional theory would be the same for all these Galabyov spaces. Now, interesting thing you can actually see over here is that how are these spaces constructed? I've taken two pieces over here and just glued them together for this case. For this case, I've taken one piece and I've done something to the other piece. That something is actually a T transformation of the SL2Z of type 2B. So type 2B has this SL2Z symmetry, and I can do transformations. So I've done the T transformation before gluing these things together. And over here, there's a T squared transformation. So what does this mean? This actually means that this piece over here, this is actually a resolved A1 singularity times a disk. So this part of it is actually the resolved AN singularity, and this part of it is actually a disk. And I've taken two copies of it and glued the boundaries of the disks together. But before gluing them, there's some twisting involved, which gives rise to these different spaces.
Excuse me? What about
TQ? Yes. See, these lines have started to have become parallel in this after the T transformation over here. If I do a T cube transformation, it will be something like this, which reflects the fact that if I take F3 Herzebruch surface and try to build a Calabi-Yau using this surface, there is going to be a singularity somewhere.
What's wrong with the physics of
this? This is no longer SU2 gauge theory. I have to.
You said it's part of the SL2B.
No, but the theory is no longer that. I'm talking about the PQ5 bridge. This, if you resolve this singularity, it will be something like this. So the gate theory will have completely changed in this thing. Remember that this transformation is, I'm not doing the transformation on the total space, which would be a symmetry of the theory. Mm-hmm. If I did the total, if I can take this and do SL2Z transformation on it, and the gate theory is going to remain the same. What I'm doing is I'm splicing it and doing the T transformation only on part of it. That's why it's not a symmetry. So we have these different, for example, it's easy actually to see what SUN gauge, how to get SUN gauge group. Essentially take N D5 brains and try to build a graph which looks like this. And the sum. Of course, it won't be like this because of charge conservation over here. The lines have to be oriented properly. But it will be something like a ladder diagram. This will give rise to SUN theory. Now, the blowing up here, so you can see what the blowing up corresponds to. In this case, I can add four hypermultiplets. And that actually corresponds to taking these points, which in the linear sigma model description are the toric invariant points. These are the points at which the U1 symmetry of the toric, these are the fixed points of the U1 symmetry of the toric manifold. So these are the only points that I can blow up and still have a toric manifold. So here I can blow up four points. So this gives rise to four hypermultiplets. Here again I can blow up four points and four points. All these places will give rise to four hypermultiplets, not more than that. So similarly over here, one can blow up these points. Now, in the SUN case, for example, for n greater than 2, one can blow up these points multiple number of times. And if it turns out that if you do it carefully, that you can only blow up to two endpoints, not more than that. So the question is, so we have geometries which give rise to certain gate states. Now, what about the p-potential of the corresponding gate state? So the gate state has some p-potential, which is has some classical contribution, some perturbative contribution, and some instanton contribution. Now where, this is the gate state side. Now where, how does this sum up in these geometries? So F is actually equal to genus zero topological string amplitude. By which I mean it's a sum, let me write it over here, over all classes, all two cycles in this thing, some number exponential of the area of the two cycle. And these numbers are, this number is the genus zero Gromov-Whitman invariant.
What was A of beta?
Area of.
Area.
So this is beta omega, where omega is the Taylor class. Now this actually is the instanton, this actually is the perturbative and the instanton piece of the prepotential. The classical piece comes from triple intersection numbers. So there's a triple intersection number, which is the classical piece, and then there's quantum corrections to this, quantum cohomology essentially, quantum corrections to the triple intersection number. And the classical piece is the triple intersection number, and then perturbative and instanton piece are all both contained over here. One can actually say even more over here, that class beta, let me label these things. Let me call this B, and let me call this F. This is the base curve, base P1, and there's a fiber P1. So I can write beta in general as MB plus MF. The perturbative contribution is a sum over all beta such that n is equal to 0, n 0 beta. So perturbative contribution comes from the fiber direction, and the instanton contribution comes from things which from the base plus fiber. So now the question is how to compute this thing. And there's a method developed by Wafa, Vanagic, Klemm, and Marino, and that was the most general method. But before that, there was a slightly less general method that I had of doing it, which is the following. And see, that will show why PQ5 brains are actually of immense importance in the whole business. So the prescription is the following. Take X, which is some Calabria threefold. Construct the corresponding web. So let me take an example, this case of SU2. Let me take the simplest case of a U1 theory. But that, I mean, I take this SU2 theory and I take this Coulomb branch parameter to infinity such that I get two copies of the U1 theory and just look at one of them, which looks like this half over here. So single D5 brain over here. Now the prescription is that think of it as a Feynman diagram. So there is it's a Feynman diagram with two vertices and a propagator. And write down the corresponding Feynman amplitude. So there's this vertex, and with each internal line, by internal line mean lines of finite length, associate a Young diagram. And with each infinite line, associate the trivial Young diagram. Then the three-point vertex is a sum function of the representations that make up that vertex. So this one is going to be some dot dot r, and this is going to be c r dot dot. So think of it as a Feynman diagram with these interaction vertices, which are functions of q, where q is e to the power g string. And take the propagator to be exponential of the number of boxes in the Young tableau times the area of this curve, or the length of this line, and sum over all representations. This thing is the partition, the generating function for the Gromov-Witten invariant. This is the exponential of the free energy, which is g string to the power so this function, this Feynman amplitude, is actually contains all genus Gromov-Witten invariants.
Why is that?
It's because of the partition function of the Gromov-Witten invariant.
Yeah.
This is because of the open string and closed string duality. The way it was constructed was using the duality between open strings on one side of this calabia. This is a calabia. So suppose that A goes to zero. It becomes something like this. And then if I separate the lines out, this becomes essentially cotangent of P1. So there's an S3 sitting here. So cotangent of S3 is the open string side over here, and there's a closed string side, which is this O minus one over P1. So in the terms, here is the term Simon theory, which is the open string theory, and there is the closed string theory. But okay, this has been confirmed independently by people using the protector. This thing is related to Hodge integrals. So this is, for at least for these deltazos, local deltazos, this is on complete sound footing, but not for general toric manifolds. So this is a very actually nice method, essentially. Each toric local calabia corresponds to a five-brain web. Each web is made up of three-point vertices. With each vertex associate this function, and with each line associate a propagator equal to the length of the line or the area of the curve, and just write down this function. Take the log of it, and one can calculate all genus invariants. Now, for example, now the question is what? So so the question is, what does this look like for this particular case? In this particular case, this is actually so one interesting thing about this is one can get these partition functions have exact product structure. And actually, one can interpret these product, this partition function, as a partition function of a second quantized Hilbert space. So, this is one example. Let me continue with this example. And similarly, for SU2 case, one can do for the SUN gate series and all the other, and it's very easy to write down these partition functions. So, now what is this connection with instanton moduli spaces? Now, this area is too simple. The four-dimensional theory is too simple to give anything over here. Because if you take the four-dimensional limit over here, this actually becomes just the classical contribution and one instanton contribution, and there's nothing else. But suppose that I consider the five-dimensional theory coming from M5 wind react on this surface. Then that has no interesting structure in it. And let me consider the following theory, which is, I think, the most interesting theory. M equals to 2 with edge joint hyper. Now, this is actually just n equals to 4 theory. As long as the edge joint is matchless. Now, suppose that I want to construct a theory in which the edge joint is actually massive. And what does that theory look like? So first, let's look at the n equals to 4 theory from this point of view. In this case, the n equals to 4 theory, what it looks like is, remember that the n equals 4 theory was something like C2 mod Zn times T2. So in this case, there is no singularity over here, and it's just a space, not a trivial space, but a space which is a C-star fiber over the complex plane times T2. In terms of this P25 brain webs, one can also write down what this space looks like. This is actually nothing but a D5 brain, an NS5 brain, and a D. So NS5 brain is irrelevant over here. The only thing is that the D5 brain is wrapped on a circle. Now, this as the n equals to 4 supersymmetry. Now, the question is, how do I break this to n equals to 2 by giving mass to edge joint? And it turns out that this has nice picture of this thing, which is the following. Yet you have this NS5 brain and a D5 brain. Now, split up this point of this NS5 brain so that it becomes something like this. Which one can actually represent in the following way. So I take this 5 brain web and I identify this side with this side. This was already a homomorphic curve. This was one parameter here. But now this is also compact, this circle over here. And that generates another parameter which is identified. This is the mass of the parameter. And this radius, the length of this circle, is actually the length of this line. So if I want to take the mass to 0, I can take m goes to 0 over here. And it seems that, let me call this parameter QB, the parameter that, or AB, the length of this line. And now it seems that actually M and AB are isoelectric. But actually it turns out that this is just the way the figure is drawn. Actually M and AB are completely symmetric. You can exchange them. There is a six-dimensional version of this theory in which I can identify this line with this line to make the web diagram completely compact. That's the diagram that corresponds to elliptic genus calculation on the other side. But I don't have time to go into it. So this one corresponds to the calculation of chi y genus. So let me just quickly do the calculation. Now this is actually the space in which this is infinite is actually almost a trivial space. There's just one rigid homomorphic curve. But this space is non-trivial, actually. It has a torus in it. So for example, if I go around this thing and come back. Now, how do I calculate the partition function for this partition function over here? And the answer is that exactly the same. There are two vertices, but now there are two propagators, one corresponding to this, the other one corresponding to this. So what I have is a Young tableau associated with the internal line, another Young tableau associated with this compact line, and trivial over here and trivial over here. So it's a sum over two Young tableaus with dot R1, R2 coming from here, and C dot R1, R2 coming from here, and then e to the power number of boxes in the Young tableau times the mass. So this is M and this is A. Now, these functions are actually given in terms of Schur functions and skew Schur functions. So this thing can actually be summed up exactly. It's like a 3 or 4 line proof. But let me just write it like this. A sum of this type, then a product over all coordinates in the Young diagram. So if I have a Young diagram like this, this is 1, 1, this is 1, 2, this is 2, 1, and so on. 1 minus e to the power minus m q to the power ij divided by 1 minus q to the power h ij. Hij over here is the so-called hook length. So for a given box, actually I should draw the boxes the other way around, this way. For a given box, it's the number of boxes to the left, the number of number of boxes to the right, number of boxes below it, plus one. So it's always a positive number. And so this is the complete partition function for this space. Now this is a q, remember the q is e to the power g string. So what I have to do is to take the log of this expression, expand it out in g string, there will be a one term, so log of 1 over g string square, f0 plus f1 and higher 1. And this thing is the prepotential of the n equals 2 gauge series with adjoint, with massive adjoint hypermultiplet. So, the amazing thing about this thing is that it looks like some sort of statistical mechanical system with a sum over representations. Now, what does this have to do with instantons? Remember that we are looking at the U1 theory. So the instantons would be points essentially in R4. So if I'm looking at a moduli space of k instantons for this case, this is nothing but kth symmetric product of R4. So what I want to compute for this space is the following partition function. Q to the power k, sum over all instantons, q to the power k, which is just labeled which instanton I'm looking at, integrating over the moduli space, I should just write it as so-called chi y of nk, where chi y is the chi y genus of this thing. So it's defined as So it's some alternating dimension of the homology groups. It has an expression actually given by the following thing. It's the turn character of the antisymmetric product of the cotangent bundle times the Todd class of M. There's an even simpler expression for this, which is that this is nothing but the integrating of product that xi are the roots of the Chern polynomial. Now here actually you can actually start seeing that if I identify y with e to the power minus m, this might actually turn out to be something like this. And the problem is that how to actually calculate this thing. Actually, the answer was actually given by Nakajima, which actually the answer is actually given by the localization formula, which tells us that if you have a manifold with isolated fixed points, then we can actually do this integration using localization. And the answer is that it's going to be a sum over all fixed points of Mk and that each fixed point we will have, so let me label these fixed points by J. Where these W's, ij, are for each j, for each fixed point, they are essentially the weights. By that one means that how does the rotation on the tangent, they are essentially the eigenvalues of the matrix which acts on the tangent space, which rotates the vectors in the tangent space. So, to calculate the partition function, so to calculate this partition function, one needs two things, fixed points and the corresponding weights. And fortunately for this space, and actually for all instrument moduli spaces, for all SU and gauge groups, Nakajima has essentially told us what the answer is. And the answer is actually very nice. So fixed points are in one-to-one correspondence with Young diagrams of length k. So this is only for this one for U1 moduli space. So for each Young diagram, so if I'm looking at, say, k equals to 1 case, there's a single fixed point labeled by the Young diagram, which is a single box. For k equals to 2, there are two fixed points. For k equals to 3, there are three fixed points, and so on. If I'm looking at the SUN case, then again, the same thing would be true, but now there would be a pair of n pairs of Young diagrams, such that the total number of boxes on those n pair is equal to k. And the other thing is the weights. So he gave a very nice formula for the weights, that the sum over the weights is actually sum over all ij belonging to this representation r, the fixed point that we are looking at, q to the power hij . So all one has to do is to sum, take the sum to be over the representations So sum is overall 6 points. 6 points are labeled by representations. So this representation, so let me write it there. Sum overall k, q to the power k. Sum overall representations of length k. And then the product essentially becomes product over ij belonging to R. Coming from the first vector, coming from the second vector, which is essentially nothing but q to the power length of representation, sum over representation which is exactly the expression that one gets from this topological vertex calculation. So now one can actually, what one can do is try to say which computable, which Calabria, this was the Calabria which gave rise to the Sky Y genus. What is the Calabria which will give rise to, say, the elliptic genus? And it turns out that in that case, if you identify this with this line, and again do the same computation over here, now there will be three non-trivial representations coming in. We have to use some identities. The answer is going to be the elliptic genus of the symmetric product of R4 in that case. Now, this will start with the U1. When we actually do it for SGN instron moduli spaces, there are corresponding Calabria spaces that one can construct, and the generating function of the Domo-Vetten invariant is exactly going to be equal to the generating function for the instron moduli spaces. Now, from the physics point of view, it's very clear why this is true. They're both computing F terms in the gauge theory. But what's not clear is that, is there some deeper reason for that or not? And I believe that since the expression, it's not that the, if I expand the expression, the answers are the same. They're equal term by term. And that actually means that there's something more deeper, you know, that we don't really understand yet. So I'll just stop here.